This is Brother Peter Diamond, VaticanCatholic.com. I wanted to talk about Brother Andre and the St. Benedict Center. A few months ago, I called up the St. Benedict Center in New Hampshire, and I challenged Brother Andre to a debate on the issue of whether Benedict XVI is a true pope. A few of our readers may be familiar with this group in New Hampshire. They are a false traditionalist group that accepts the Latin Mass and claims to believe in the dogma outside the Church there is no salvation, but they regard Benedict XVI as a pope. They accept Vatican II. They also believe that the Novus Ordo is a legitimate, quote, Mass, and they have condemned those who take the Sede Vacantis position as schismatics. I thought that Brother Andre would be someone it would be interesting to debate, and so I called him up. And I spoke with him. He wound up hanging up on me within about 2 minutes. I asked him if he'd be interested in a debate, and he said no, he wouldn't have time for such a thing. And then when I pressed him a little bit and questioned him why he would not have time to discuss such an important matter, he insulted us and acted as if he would be above a debate with us. And then I quickly asked him if Benedict XVI believes in Vatican I, and he hung up. He refused the debate challenge simply because he knows that he cannot defend his position in such a debate with us, and that he would actually be exposed. And I wanted to comment on his pretension that he's above a debate with us. Well, the reality is that our website is much more active than theirs. In fact, our website is almost a million websites more active than theirs. It's over 900,000 websites more active than their website, according to Alexa.com. It's not even close. A lot more people listen to what we have to say than listen to what they have to say. In fact, we have more total video views on our YouTube channel than any other channel in the world that claims to be Catholic. Our English YouTube channel alone has more total video views than all of the Vatican's YouTube channels in various languages combined. And if we compared the amount of DVDs and books that we've sold and distributed to the amount of materials that the St. Benedict Center has sold and distributed, the disparity would probably be as great or even greater than the disparity between our web activity and theirs. And thus, Andre's pretension that he would have no interest in or time for a debate with us is also completely hypocritical, because this guy Andre publicly requests speaking engagements, and he says that he will go essentially anywhere to speak to even small groups of people about the quote Catholic faith, and he says, quote, I can travel virtually anywhere. So he has time to travel virtually anywhere to speak to small groups of individuals when I'm presenting him with an opportunity to debate this issue, which he has publicly written articles about. He has attacked the Sede Vacantis position. He has attacked us. He published an outrageous lie about Brother Michael about 10 years ago. So he has been in the fray, and he's advertising in order to find even small groups of people to whom he can speak, when he would have an opportunity to address a much larger group of individuals. And furthermore, they claim to want to evangelize the United States of America, and they also claim that Sede Vacantis are schismatics. Well, here we are presenting him with an opportunity to, quote, evangelize a large group of individuals he considers to be schismatic. We have the most active Sede Vacantist website in the world, by far. So it would make sense, for all of those reasons, that he would take me up on that challenge. But no, he doesn't, because he's a coward, and because his position is heretical, and because he'd lose miserably. And they want to go through life and ignore all the facts that they can't answer. They want to ignore all the heresies of Benedict XVI that absolutely prove he's not a Catholic. They never address them. They never will address them. Their pathetic articles against Sede Vacantism contain elementary arguments that were refuted years ago. They have nothing, and they will never face the fact that Benedict XVI teaches that the, quote, Orthodox are in the Church, that he teaches Protestantism is not heresy, that he endorses pagan religions, that he partakes in non-Catholic worship, that he teaches non-Catholics shouldn't be converted, that Vatican II would be binding if these guys are, quote, popes. All these heresies, they have no answer for them, and that's why they won't debate. So I wanted to make it clear that he's not willing to engage us in a debate for the reasons I've covered. The next thing I want to mention, and I will essentially be breaking this talk down into parts. The first part was about my debate challenge. The second part I want to mention is that the St. Benedict Center is Novus Ordo. They are not traditional, okay? That's what people need to understand clearly. They are 100% purebred Novus Ordo. Do they have the Latin Mass? Yes. Does Brother Andre personally go to the Novus Ordo? As far as I know, he does not. But they accept the Novus Ordo. They defend the Novus Ordo. They believe that people may attend the Novus Ordo. They believe that the Novus Ordo is valid. They have speakers at their conferences, such as Gary Potter, who for years attended the Novus Ordo and probably still does. They also had Charles Coulomb speak at their conference. Coulomb accepts the Novus Ordo and may even attend it. So they are not traditional, they're Novus Ordo. They are also in a contradictory position vis-a-vis the Vatican II Church. They adamantly protest that the Vatican II Church is legitimate, that Benedict XVI is legitimate. Yet, according to the information that has been published on their website, and was also communicated to me by a, quote, third order member of their group, they are not fully approved by the diocese. They are in an irregular situation vis-a-vis the Vatican II Church. And this is just completely hypocritical. If you're going to say that they're the hierarchy, obstinately for years, and resist all of the overwhelming proof that they're not, then you need to be approved by them. But they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to act like they're approved by Rome and Rome's, quote, bishops, yet also distance themselves from the cesspool of iniquity that one necessarily is corrupted by when approved by such bishops. So it's just more hypocrisy. And in fact, Brother Andre was, according to the information we gathered, seriously contemplating getting ordained by a completely independent bishop. That's just more hypocrisy. And in fact, on that point, they don't even allow comments that attack or criticize Benedict XVI or the apostate Novus Ordo bishops. That's how heretical this group is. Here's actually what their policy states. Quote, "We do not allow disrespectful remarks directed at the Supreme Pontiff or the bishops in communion with him. Readers tempted to make such a remark are counseled to pray for the pontiff in question instead." End quote. They are thus opposed to people even exposing the outrageous heresies and apostasy coming from Benedict XVI and his bishops that is corrupting the world. Just the other day, Benedict XVI held a CC3, another stunning act of apostasy, in which Benedict XVI invited a practitioner of voodoo, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, atheists, to promote their false religions in his presence. It's without question apostasy by deed, but the apostate St. Benedict Center doesn't even allow people to expose this evil. They're not even at the point where they're denouncing the volumes of heresies that are coming out of Benedict XVI's mouth and the bishops, quote, in communion with him. That's how apostate this group is. They also accept the heresy that Muslims worship the one true God. Brother Michael spoke to Father Michael Jarecki, who is a priest who said Mass for them. He said that Muslims worship the one true God. And they wouldn't denounce Vatican II's statement that Muslims worship the one true God as heretical. They, in fact, accept Vatican II. And so it really brings up a legitimate question. Who is further from true Christianity? An anti-Catholic Protestant, but a fundamentalist who will say that Jesus Christ is necessary, and who will also say that any so-called Christian who approves of Islam or says that Christians and Muslims have the same God is definitely not a Christian. So you have the anti-Catholic Protestant who believes that Christ is necessary, and that anyone who denies Christ is outside the body, but he denies Catholic teaching. And then you have the St. Benedict Center that claims to believe in Catholic teaching, but holds that individuals who endorse Islam and believe Muslims have the same God are inside the body of Christ. Who's further from true Christianity? It's debatable. Obviously, the Protestant is more notoriously heretical in terms of his external profession, because he doesn't claim to be Catholic. But when considering who is in reality further removed from the heart of true Christianity, one could make an argument on either side, because accepting Christ is the basis of Christianity, and the Protestant would admit that if you reject Christ or believe that a religion that rejects Christ can be endorsed within the Christian community, then you repudiate the very core of Christianity, and that's what the St. Benedict Center does. Thus, one could make the argument that they are further removed from true Christianity than an anti-Catholic Protestant. Another thing that I want to mention is that, in accordance with their acceptance of the Novus Ordo, their acceptance of anti-Pope Benedict XVI, and their acceptance of Vatican II, the St. Benedict Center accepts the heresies that are promoted by Vatican II, such as religious liberty. As my debate with Vin Lewis showed, when you cross-examine these people and you get them in a forum in which they're going to have to address some of these issues they never address, the heresies that come out of their mouths are quite surprising. In fact, we had one individual write to us and say that he couldn't believe what he heard from Vin Lewis in that debate. And that's because they are never put on the spot as they would be in such a debate with us. And there are many heresies lurking beneath the surface that go hand in hand with their acceptance of the counter-church. And so if I questioned Andre or one of their other members very clearly and specifically on a lot of these issues, what do you think about religious liberty and all of these matters, people would be surprised by the answers. The next thing I wanted to mention is that the St. Benedict Center does not stand truly for the dogma outside the church there is no salvation. They actually do not even believe it's a dogma. They claim to believe in it, yes, but they don't, because they hold that people who completely and without a doubt reject the dogma are in the church. They hold that pro-abortion public figures who reject Catholic teaching have to be considered inside the church. As we heard from Vin Lewis in my debate with him, the St. Benedict Center would have to hold the same position. Because if they're going to say that those individuals are outside the church, by what authority do they do that? Then that would apply to the Novus Ordo bishops and priests who hold similar and even worse heresies. The St. Benedict Center holds that the bishops of Benedict XVI, who believe that we shouldn't convert Protestants, etc., are inside the church. They thus hold that the dogma outside the church there is no salvation is a nice opinion that people may hold, but it's not essential to believe under pain of loss of church membership. They thus deny that outside the church there is no salvation is a dogma. Rather, they hold that it's just an opinion. They also deny the dogma because many of the arguments that proponents of their group make is that a heretic can be the head of the church, and that contradicts the Bull Cantate Domino, which declared that all heretics are outside of the church. They have also had numerous speakers at their conferences who do not believe in the dogma. For example, they had Nicholas Gruner speak at their conference numerous times. Nicholas Gruner is a proponent of invincible ignorance. In the book entitled The Devil's Final Battle, which Gruner endorsed and promoted, there is a clear heresy against the dogma outside the church there is no salvation. The St. Benedict Center also had, quote, Father Brian Harrison at one of their conferences. Harrison not only defends the heresies of Vatican II, he goes out of his way to try to defend the indefensible teaching of Vatican II on religious liberty. Harrison also holds that Muslims and Catholics worship the same God. He is clearly ignorant of Catholic teaching that Muslims are pagans. Harrison also vehemently rejects the necessity of water baptism and tenaciously adheres to, quote, baptism of desire. This heretic has also stated that there's nothing heretical in the teaching of John the 23rd or Paul the 6th, and that he doesn't doubt their good intentions. Harrison also says the Novus Ordo, quote, Mass. He was actually ordained by anti-Pope John Paul II. The St. Benedict Center had this Novus Ordo heretic speak at their conference, further proving that the St. Benedict Center does not stand for the dogma outside the church. There is no salvation. And they did not have these individuals speak because they might have an expertise in a particular field. If someone has a forum or a seminar and they invite a speaker to address a precise topic, it wouldn't ipso facto mean that they endorse everything else that speaker stands for. But when you're talking about individuals who are somewhat well known within the traditional community, and you invite them as, quote, traditional Catholics to address your group, that is an endorsement of those individuals as fellow, quote, traditional Catholics. Another example of heresy from the St. Benedict Center is that Andre was commenting on an Anglican group in Maryland, quote, converting to the Vatican II Church under the terms of Anglicanorum Chastebus. This was the document that was promulgated by Benedict XVI that set up personal ordinariates for Anglicans entering, quote, full communion with the Catholic Church. In commenting on how this group is, quote, converting, under the terms of this document put out by Benedict XVI, Andre said that this group is joining the Catholic Church under the terms of this document. Quote, that's the good part. So he says that it's good that this Anglican group is, quote, converting under the terms of this document. Well, if you read the document that Benedict XVI put out, not only does it contain numerous expressions of heresy about the Church, but it actually says that this group that is coming into the Vatican II sect is able, quote, to maintain the liturgical, spiritual, and pastoral traditions of the Anglican communion within the Catholic Church as a precious gift nourishing the faith of the members. And it says that this group, this ordinariate, has the faculty to celebrate the Holy Eucharist and the other sacraments, the Liturgy of the Hours, and other liturgical celebrations according to the liturgical books proper to the Anglican tradition. End quote. So, according to this document, endorsed by the St. Benedict Center, these so-called converts, and they're completely false converts, may continue to celebrate Anglican services and Anglican liturgies, which come from the wicked schism in England in the 16th century. This is how heretical the St. Benedict Center is. They're endorsing the use of Protestant prayer books. And they can say, no, 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 yes, they are. Because he's saying it's good that people are, quote, converting under the terms of this document. It just shows you what an apostate Andre is. That's what happens when people obstinately defend the anti-pope despite all of the evidence. And we've spoken frequently about false traditionalists and how one of the deceptions that you frequently encounter is that people are persuaded by externals and not substance. People are enthused by pictures of people in robes and habits rather than the substance of what they stand for. Well, the external deception meter with the St. Benedict Center is near a 10. That's one of the big problems with their group. There's a lot of phoniness. Basically, all of their third order members would assume these long religious names. It's a lot of phoniness, a lot of insincerity. This guy Andre is not sincere. How can you claim to believe in Jesus Christ and the dogma outside the church there is no salvation and want to be in, quote, communion with bishops you know for a fact? Completely reject that. You have to be a complete phony to hold that position. There's no other way to put it. It's similar to John Carapi. Maybe not to the same extent, but it's similar. The phoniness. And so it's all about having a status, dressing up in robes. That's clearly the case with the St. Benedict Center. And I've spoken to some of their members, just totally dishonest and insincere people. And what's interesting is about 5 or so years ago, I spoke with Brian Kelly. He's an individual who has written for the St. Benedict Center. He's closely affiliated with their group. He told me that if they, quote, canonize John Paul II, he will go sede vacantist. Now, at the time, he was quite confident that that would never happen. Well, we're moving closer and closer to that reality. Do I believe he will stand by his word and become a sede vacantist when they, quote, canonize John Paul II? No, not at all. They will accept that. They will worship this beastly figure, whether you think he was the beast or not. He was without question a monstrous antichrist. They will venerate him right alongside the saints of the church because they're thoroughly wicked apostates from whom God has pulled his grace completely. He's left them in their darkness. Something else that's very interesting, and I think it reveals the problem at the heart of the St. Benedict Center's doctrinal position, is what I'm receiving in a correspondence I'm having with a third order member of the St. Benedict Center. This individual says that he is not a sede, meaning a sede vacantist, at least not a de jure sede. However, he says that he considers himself to be a de facto sede. After saying that he considers himself to be a de facto sede, he says, quote, which I consider the St. Benedict Center, along with my superior, Brother Andre, to be also, even though they may disavow that position publicly, end quote. This is an example of how they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to convince themselves that they're traditionalists as they accept the Novus Ordo and as they accept Vatican II. They want to act as if they really do reject all the apostasy of Benedict XVI and that in fact they have nothing to do with the Vatican II Church as they publicly defend the Vatican II Church. To say that this guy Andre is a de facto sede vacantist is outrageous. The guy has condemned sede vacantists as schismatics. He and his heretical group outlaw criticism of anti-pope Benedict XVI. These people, barring a miraculous conversion, will be condemned to hell and will go down into the pit with Lucifer, and they will go down in history along with many other individuals as people who have tried to reconcile idolatry with Catholicism, as people who have said that the endorsement of pagan religions is acceptable within the Catholic Church. That is, that it does not expel you from the Church. And we're not talking about people who haven't seen the evidence, who aren't familiar with the proof. No, they've obstinately rejected the evidence on all of these matters for many years. An analogy which I believe really captures the St. Benedict Center's position is this. Consider the ancient Church and the ancient Christian churches, which had altars dedicated to Christ, and then consider the altars at the time of the ancient church that were dedicated to pagan idols. Incense would be thrown to these false gods at these altars. The St. Benedict Center's position is equivalent to this. Suppose they had a church in which one altar is dedicated to Jesus Christ and the other altar is dedicated to some false pagan god, and they might not worship at the altar dedicated to the false pagan god, but they believe that within their church you can have an altar dedicated to Christ and an altar dedicated to the false pagan god, and both coexist. The St. Benedict Center might claim that theologically they are opposed to Assisi, and they are opposed to Benedict XVI's statements which endorse false religions, and thus false gods. But they wouldn't say that worshiping at or endorsing the pagan altar excludes you from the church. See, for example, John Paul II at Assisi, Benedict XVI at Assisi. And in fact, it's just the opposite. They encourage people to look to Benedict XVI as their authority, to look to the, quote, bishops in communion with Benedict XVI. They even outlaw criticism of Benedict XVI, John Paul II, and their apostate bishops. Thus, they welcome within their church altars that are dedicated to false gods, namely the teachings of John Paul II and Benedict XVI and Vatican II concerning false religions. That's the position of the St. Benedict Center. This third order member of the St. Benedict Center also says in an email that Andre has publicly stated that he would never attend the Novus Ordo. This is more hypocrisy. They accept the Novus Ordo. They defend its validity. They have speakers at their conferences who go there or have gone there. Yet he would personally never be defiled by it. If the Novus Ordo is acceptable, then why is Andre acting as if he is above communication in such impiety? Imagine a cook who prepares a meal for all of his guests, a meal which he knows is harmful and unhealthy. The cook, therefore, would never personally eat the meal, but he defends the right of all of his guests to eat it. He even publicly teaches that anyone who says you must not eat the meal or should not eat the meal is subversive. That would truly be a disgraceful hypocrite. That's the position of the St. Benedict Center on the Novus Ordo. They pretend like they're above the Novus Ordo, and they act as if they would never partake in the Novus Ordo. as they defend the Novus Ordo, have speakers who go to the Novus Ordo, etc. He also says in one of his emails, they, meaning the St. Benedict Center, profess EENS as a defined dogma of the faith. They do not believe it's a defined dogma. They claim they do, but they don't, because they hold that you can reject this dogma and be in the church. What they really believe is that it's an opinion. It's a nice opinion. But if you don't hold that opinion, you're still the bishop, and people shouldn't even criticize you. In fact, Andre will recommend the words of these apostate Novus Ordo bishops if they, on occasion, will say something true or conservative. That's how pathetic they are. If one of these raging apostates who tolerates or promotes false ecumenism, salvation outside the church, if they say something conservative, Andre and his heretical group will sometimes promote that as if these are representatives of Catholic truth, people we should look to. Meanwhile, these same people believe in salvation outside the church, all kinds of heresies on false religions, on Protestants, etc. It's also interesting that some years ago, and this was covered in a Heresy of the Week that we posted in 2006, the St. Benedict Center put out a newsletter attacking sedevacantism. It's another example of how they publish newsletters dealing with these issues, but Andre refuses to engage in a debate because he would be utterly refuted. And in this newsletter, Doug Bersaw, a complete heretic who was a member of their group, may still be. In this newsletter, Doug Bersaw says, quote, "No Pope, no hope. Sedevacantism implicitly denies the virtue of faith by contradicting Vatican I. Thank God, we have hope," end quote. And what was so interesting is that in our refutation of this newsletter, in this Heresy of the Week column we put out, we pointed out that Benedict XVI, in his book, Principles of Catholic Theology, denies Vatican I in various ways. He says that the demand that the heretics of Protestantism and the schismatics of the East, the Orthodox, accept Vatican I would offer no real hope of unity. He says, quote, "None of the maximum solutions offers any real hope of unity." And the maximum solution he's talking about, he explicitly says it, is that, quote, "the East recognized the primacy of the Bishop of Rome in the full scope of the definition of 1870. So he's saying that the Orthodox converting to the Catholic faith and accepting Vatican I offers no hope. And so the St. Benedict Center, it's so ironic. Do I believe it's an accident? No. They're saying no Pope, no hope, that we only have hope if we accept this anti-pope, when in reality, the anti-pope is the one denying Vatican I, and their own anti-pope says that if you accept Vatican I, you have no hope for unity. So the reality is exactly the opposite, almost to the word, of what they're promoting. And they say that the sedevacantists deny Vatican I when it's exactly the opposite. We defend Vatican I. It's precisely because we believe in Vatican I that we reject Benedict XVI, and that's why we'd like to debate someone on that specific topic. Does the sedevacantist or Benedict XVI reject Vatican I? And they won't do it because their position is false. Moving on to another issue in this regard, the St. Benedict Center recently publicly asked for $750,000 for a chapel fund. And I believe, although I'm not positive, I believe they already have a chapel, and that this $750,000 is for another chapel, or a separate chapel. Regardless, it's an example of how bad-willed individuals funnel their money to these heretical groups. As many of our readers know, a very large donation we received about 6 years ago has been the subject of massive controversy in the traditional movement, even though we did nothing wrong and simply received a donation, and now the guy is trying to get it back, and he has no basis whatsoever to do so. But this has been the subject of massive controversy. All kinds of calumnies have been hurled at us, lies, and we greatly appreciate all of the support we receive from people. It's one of the things that make our apostolate possible. But the point I want to make is that the financial support we receive has been the subject of massive opposition. Whereas these other groups, the St. Benedict Center, Society of St. Pius X, Society of St. Pius V, the Fraternity of St. Peter, the CMRI, and other groups I could mention, they receive large donations all the time, and no one even bats an eye. Yet, our financial support is the subject of swirling controversy, and the reason that there's been so much opposition in regard to the financial support we've received is because the devil knows that what we do with the financial support we receive is about 1,000 times more valuable than what these other groups will do with the financial support they receive. That's why people will give them large donations and they won't really have many problems. So I just wanted to comment about how those people who do support this group will probably continue to do so. They will fund this chapel effort despite the fact that the St. Benedict Center is completely heretical and apostate. They accept manifest heretics and apostates, the New Mass, Vatican II, etc. And the reason that people support them is because they dress up in robes, they show pictures of themselves in robes, and they believe they're the spiritual descendants of Father Feeney. That's one of the main reasons they even have any following at this point. If they weren't considered to be the, quote, spiritual descendants of Father Feeney, they would have almost no support, in my view. And that shows, again, how shallow people are. Father Feeney's been dead. It's not about Father Feeney, who made an error on justification. He did stand against the heretics and for the dogma in his day, but he's been dead, and the individuals and groups which claim to be his spiritual descendants are compromised heretics who accept people who deny the dogma completely. And yet people are so attached to a person like Father Feeney that they'll just continue to support this heretical group, probably until they die. And that brings us to the next point I want to cover with regard to the St. Benedict Center, and that's their false teaching on justification. The St. Benedict Center believes that people can be justified, that is, they can receive the state of grace by the desire for water baptism, but they do not believe that people can be saved without water baptism. The reason they hold this position is because they wrongly believe that the Council of Trent taught that one can be justified by desire, but not saved by desire. And this position that they hold is contradicted by all kinds of passages in Trent on what the state of justification is. And that's covered in our book on the topic. In our section dealing with this issue, we point out that the Council of Trent's Decree on Justification, Chapter 7, declares that someone who has been justified is, quote, an heir according to hope of life everlasting. That means that if someone is justified and that person dies in that state, that person will be saved. That's a dogma. It's therefore false to hold that someone can be in the state of justification and yet still lack something that is necessary for salvation. It contradicts Trent. The true position is the one we have promoted, which is that no one can be justified without water baptism, and that's precisely why no one can be saved without water baptism. Another passage in Trent which contradicts their false view is Session 6, Chapter 16, in which Trent declares that, quote, it must be believed that nothing more is needed for the justified to be considered to have fully satisfied the divine law according to this state in life and to have truly merited eternal life, end quote. So it's a dogma that the justified have fully satisfied the divine law. That destroys the St. Benedict Center's position, because they hold that a justified person, one who is justified by desire, still has to satisfy the divine law of water baptism to be saved. But it's a dogma that the justified have fully satisfied the divine law. That proves that someone who is justified will be saved. And it also proves, actually, that someone who is justified has been water baptized, because receiving water baptism is a requirement of the divine law. Their position also contradicts Leo the Great's dogmatic letter to Flavian that we cover in our book about how the spirit of sanctification, the blood of redemption, and the water of baptism, these three are one and indivisible. None of them is separable from its link with the others. That demonstrates dogmatically that justification is inseparable from water baptism. Their position also contradicts Pope Boniface VIII's bull Unum Sanctum, 1302, in which it is declared, quote, this church outside of which there is no salvation nor remission of sin. So Boniface VIII declares that Remission of sins does not come to anyone outside the church, but the St. Benedict Center holds that it does, because they hold that someone who's unbaptized and thus not a member of the church can have his sins remitted by his desire, even though he's outside the church. They will claim, well, that part of Unum Sanctum is not infallible, and we refute that in our book by quoting Pope Pius XII in Mystici Corporis. And in that encyclical, Pius XII makes reference to Boniface VIII's teaching in Unum Sanctum that Christ and his vicar constitute one only head. And he says that this is, quote, the solemn teaching of our predecessor, Boniface VIII. So according to Pius XII, the bull is solemn, and he doesn't limit it to the one line about how one must be subject to the Roman pontiff. That contradicts their position that Boniface VIII's statement that there's no remission of sin outside the church is not infallible. There are other points I could bring up to demonstrate in even more detail why the St. Benedict Center's position on justification is false and illogical. However, the facts that I've covered should persuade people of that. The St. Benedict Center has been presented with these arguments, and they've obstinately rejected them for years, so they are heretics on this point. That is, for obstinately holding that justification does not make one an heir to eternal life. One could hold that error in good faith for a certain period of time, but when you demonstrate obstinacy in the face of all the facts, you eventually fall into heresy, as they have. One other point that refutes their position is that in its decree on justification, the Council of Trent declares that faith, hope, and charity are simultaneously infused into the soul of the justified. And it says, and you'd have to listen carefully to get this point, it says, for faith, unless hope and charity be added to it, neither unites one perfectly with Christ, nor makes him a living member of his body. End quote. That means that if hope and charity are added to faith, as they are in justification, faith does unite one perfectly with Christ and make him a living member of Christ's body. But that's not consistent with the St. Benedict Center's position, because they hold it's possible for hope and charity to be united with faith in a justified catechumen who is not a member of Christ's body. And this problem of their explanation of justification has been the subject of all kinds of attacks by Baptism of Desire apostates. Now, it's quite dishonest of the Baptism of Desire apostates to do so, because they themselves believe that souls can be saved in any religion. They're just trying to cover their own apostasy. But the point is that the St. Benedict Center's error on justification has provided fodder for the enemies of the necessity of water baptism to make it look like people who defend the necessity of water baptism have an inconsistent theology, when in fact they do not, if they hold what Trent actually teaches and what the Church actually teaches, which is that there's no justification at all without water baptism. That's what our material covers, and that's why our defense of the necessity of water baptism is consistent and true, while their position on that point is inconsistent and false. One last point which illustrates the evil and stunning hypocrisy of the St. Benedict Center on this matter alone is that when we pointed out their error years ago, in May of 1999, they put out a newsletter. They stated that our position on justification is a, quote, strange heresy. So not only do they obstinately reject all these facts which blow their position out of the water, but they say that our position, which correctly explains that one cannot be saved without water baptism because one cannot be justified without it, is a strange heresy. And we exposed this by pointing out that in their very own book, they quote a passage from St. Ambrose, in which St. Ambrose declares that, quote, nor on the other hand is there any mystery of regeneration without water, for unless a man is born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Even a catechumen believes in the cross. Unless he is baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, he cannot receive the remission of sins, nor be recipient of the gift of spiritual grace. This passage, which clearly articulates the apostolic tradition that no man, even a catechumen, is saved without water baptism, And it does so on the basis that the mystery of regeneration, that is, justification, does not exist at all without water. So the St. Benedict Center quotes St. Ambrose, articulating the position that there's no justification at all without water baptism. That's our position. While they also say that our position is a strange heresy. They thus condemn themselves out of their own mouths. It's an example of how bankrupt their theological arguments and positions are. So those are some of the problems with the St. Benedict Center, why they are unfortunately an evil and heretical group. We wish for the conversion of people who might have been exposed to their group, but the fact of the matter is that they're enemies of God, they're enemies of true Catholics, they're false traditionalists, and they should be rejected and not supported at all.